In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Life can be difficult. That was the first line of a best-selling book written by M. Scott Peck a few years ago. It was called The Road Less Traveled. Life can be difficult. I'm sure I didn't need to tell you that. You might be thinking, thank you, Captain Obvious. Everyone experiences difficulties in life at some time or another, in some way or another. Perhaps you're suffering difficulties all the time. Something we should probably talk about. Of course, you don't come to church on a Sunday morning or watch this video to think more about your problems and get depressed. Probably the opposite. You may have come here as a respite from the troubles of the world and to be inspired, to be renewed, to have your burden lightened. And I don't come here on a Sunday morning or make these broadcasts to stress you out and bring you down. That's not what I'm about. That's not what we're about. Some people think of Christianity as all gloom and doom, all anger and judgment. Others try to package the church as all butterflies and unicorns and rainbows. It's neither, and it's both, and it's everything in between. Today, we'll try to work through some of the difficulties of life and come out in a positive place, a grace-centered place, a Christ-centered place. But it's a journey. It takes time. We will be realistic, maybe painfully so, but we will come out on the other side, I promise. The church needs to be a safe place where people joined by their common humanity come together to love and support one another because they have first been loved and forgiven by Christ. That happens through the gospel of Jesus Christ that we proclaim. We are all patients in the same hospital. Some of us have just been here longer than others, so we have some information that we can share. We are united by our common problems, and those problems are the effects of sins, our sins, and the sins of others against us. It's sin that beats us down. Each of us has difficulties. Things about ourselves that we don't like, obsessions and compulsions that seem beyond our control, ways of behaving so ingrained in us that we feel we can never break the pattern. Things we've suffered that we did not deserve to have done to us, and they've done damage. Perhaps we're missing people that we can't bring back. If you have experienced any of these things, congratulations, you're human. St. Paul said, I don't do the good that I want to do, the evil that I don't want to do, that's what I do. Now, we've all been there. Maybe did you start on December 1st? Maybe on October 1st you started. Or maybe Monday morning you will start. Or maybe next Tuesday, the day after Columbus Day, you're going to start a new diet. Or resolve to drink less. Exercise more. Pray and read the Bible more. Cut back on your spending. Be a kinder, gentler person. Control your anger. Spend more time with your loved ones. Get control of your life and health, your physical health, your mental health, your spiritual health. If you have tried to do all of those things and have failed, you are not alone. Not at all. All the bad thoughts and feelings you have, all the people around you have the same exact ones too. Even the nice people sitting around you in the pews on Sunday morning. That's scary, huh? You might not think that because people usually don't talk about such things publicly. But it really shouldn't surprise us that they hide those things. Do you let anyone see the real you? Your insecurities, your doubts, your anxieties? Of course not. But what is most personal to each of us is also most universal among us. We are all made up of the same stuff. We are really not all that different from one another. Isn't it funny how we'll talk about physical illnesses and readily ask people to pray for us? It's okay to have a broken bone or a sore muscle or a malfunctioning internal organ. But how often does someone ask us to pray for their depression or anxiety or a personal problem, an emotional problem, a family conflict, a spiritual struggle? Not often. It's taboo. We need to break those kinds of taboos and bring Jesus' healing word into all of our situations. We need to pray for one another and console one another with the word of God at a deep spiritual level. That's what we're about. Our scripture readings today point towards sources of potentially both great difficulty and great joy in our lives. Marriage, family life, and raising children. Other situations like those would also make good test cases for us to study as ways of looking at faith and life, but we'll mostly stick to those this morning. Genesis chapter 2 begins with a bright, hopeful, beautiful kind of folksy picture. God is bringing animals to Adam to name. Maybe Adam sees the rooster and the hen. He sees the bull and the cow. He sees the male and the female of each species. And maybe God asks Adam, "Where's my partner? Where's my other half? Don't you have someone for me?" Many of us have known lonely times in life where we ask God those same questions. Who's there for me? God saw the reality that man should not be alone. Humans are creatures that need and crave community and relationship. Flesh and blood needs flesh and blood. So God takes Adam's rib and makes a woman. An old bit of wisdom says, God didn't make Eve from Adam's foot because he wasn't supposed to walk all over her, and he didn't make her from Adam's head because she's not to rule over him. God made Eve from Adam's rib because the two of them should be joined at the heart. I like that. Together, Adam and Eve become the prototype family. Husband and wife, father and mother. And verse 25 lets us know just how comfortable they were with one another. No shame, no secrets. Things didn't go exactly well, though. By Jesus' day, marriage had been downgraded to the point that a man could divorce his wife for any reason or no reason, as easily as you could fire an employee by giving them a pink slip. I admire people who can go through the very painful experience of divorce and still treat each other cordially for the sake of their children and their families and each other's well-being. But God said that a husband and wife are one flesh, and ripping that flesh apart simply has to hurt. It must hurt no matter how hard we try to hide it. I've never been divorced, so I can't speak from experience. I can only speak from what I've learned from walking that journey with parishioners and family members. Often people will say to me, I woke up and one day the person that I thought I knew was totally different. The person I loved and trusted just suddenly didn't love or trust me anymore. They were like a stranger to me. I thought that either I or they had lost our mind. Into what was supposed to be a perfect relationship between Adam and Eve, shame and secrets and blame crept in. Same today. Maybe you've had experiences like that in other areas. The boss who loved your work until one day he didn't. The candidate you voted for who forgot all of his campaign promises. The pastor who turned out to be a fraud. The friend who betrayed your confidences. When these difficulties arise, it's really easy to get angry with God. And I don't mean just a little annoyed with God. I'm talking about rip-roaring, blaspheming. I'm going to punish you, God, by not believing you anymore. And don't expect me to do the favor of coming to church to worship you ever again. That kind of angry. Most people won't say those things out loud, but they scream them in their heart. God hears them. Can your relationship with God come back from such a meltdown? Can God take that kind of abuse? God's a big boy, and he can stand up for himself. He can take whatever we dish out. They spit on Jesus. They beat him to a bloody pulp, and they mocked him, which may have hurt worst of all, and still Jesus loved them. I can't explain why. He loved them enough that he died for them. If Jesus could endure the abuse heaped on him in his passion, he certainly can withstand our petty hissy fits. But can we endure each other? Wherever there are people, there are going to be people problems. Personality conflicts, rivalries. When Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, Adam blamed Eve, and they both blamed God. Adam and Eve also raised the first murderer, their son Cain. Only four people in the world, and one finds it necessary to kill another. Do you think strife and conflict are bred into us? Duh. Marriage should be that safe place where you know your spouse is always for you, where you know the support is unconditional, when you never have to wonder if you're loved, you know you are loved, no matter what. And that's the kind of home parents need to provide for their children as well. Children have been showing up in our gospel readings 3 weeks in a row now. Jesus used them as an example of humility 2 weeks ago. Last week, Jesus said that no one should lead them astray on the pain of having a millstone fastened to their neck and being thrown into the sea. Plus, he said that those who took care of their needs would not lose their reward. And this week, we find Jesus taking children into his arms and blessing them. In a time and culture that thought that children should neither be seen nor heard, Jesus loved and valued children, even though everybody else thought they were pretty worthless. Jesus has this soft spot in his heart for the least and the lost. He welcomes the sinner and the outcast. That's why you and I are here. That's the only reason we're here. If Jesus ever decides to cut all of the toxic people out of his life, we're history. We're toast. Literally. But no. Jesus takes us, his children, into our arms. This church is the safe place. He blesses us. He says, let it go. He says, everything's going to be all right. He says, I'll take care of you. And he will. His word promises that. His body and blood guarantees it. Now, if Jesus is going to cut us a break and stand by us in our difficulties and endure our abuse and love us anyway and love us too much to leave us the wretched mess that we are, but he's going to renovate us, then maybe we also ought to cut somebody a break. Maybe that somebody is your spouse. Maybe that somebody is your child. Maybe that somebody's a friend. Maybe there are more people to love and forgive than you can count. That's okay. Start with just one and start today. Amen.